Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Axolotl Superpowers, the Salamanders That Regrow, a learning podcast for kids.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's time for another deep dive. And this time you guys send in some amazing research on axolotls and their crazy regeneration abilities.
It's really unbelievable what these creatures can do.
Right. Like, it's one thing to hear about it,
yeah.
But to actually dig into the research, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, let's break down some of the most interesting parts.
Okay, sounds good. First off, just to set the stage, axolotls are these salamanders. They're native to Mexico, and they're famous for being able to regenerate pretty much anything.
Yeah, and when we say anything, we really mean it.
Limbs.
Oh, yeah.
Tail.
Oh, no.
Eyes.
Uh-huh.
Parts of their brain.
Brain, spinal cord.
Heart.
Even some lung and ovary tissue.
It's like Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
Kind of.
But real. So not just sci-fi.
Exactly. It makes you wonder what we thought we knew about the animal kingdom, right?
Totally. And for our listeners out there, just imagine losing a finger and having it grow back perfectly. That's the level we're talking about here.
It really is remarkable.
So how do they do it? Like, what's the secret? Well, that's what scientists are trying to figure out.
And I was looking at the research you sent over and their genome.
Oh, their genome.
It's one of the most complex ever sequenced.
It really is.
10 times larger than ours.
10 times larger.
Yeah.
And within that massive genome, researchers have recently found some key genes and pathways that seem to be involved in this whole regeneration process.
So, like, there are specific genes that tell the body, hey, you need to regrow this limb.
You got it. And one gene in particular, it's called AXL12. It seems to act like a master switch for regeneration.
AXL12, so that's like the control center.
Yeah, you could say that.
It tells the other genes what to do.
Exactly. And if scientists can understand how AXL12 works, it could be a big step towards maybe triggering similar regeneration.
Yeah.
In humans.
Whoa. Okay, hold on. So you're saying that axolotl research could someday help us regenerate damaged tissues?
Potentially.
Yeah.
It's still early days. There's a lot we don't know.
Yeah.
But the potential is definitely there.
That's incredible. I mean, regrowing a limb is one thing, but what about rebuilding parts of your brain? Is that even possible?
Well, axolotls can do it.
Yeah.
And it really challenges our understanding of how regeneration works, especially in complex organs like the brain.
So they can regrow brain tissue, but is the regrown part exactly the same as the original?
That's what gets interesting. It's not an exact copy.
Oh.
It's more like their brain is being patched up.
Interesting.
But not perfectly recreated.
Huh. So that raises all sorts of questions, right?
Mm.
About memory and personality.
Exactly. If part of your brain is rebuilt, are you still the same you?
It's a philosophical question as much as a scientific one.
It really is.
Okay, well, I definitely need to think about that some more. But before we go too deep into the existential stuff, let's talk about how this regeneration process actually works. I kept seeing this word in the research. Blastema?
Oh, yes.
What is that exactly?
Well, you can think of the blastema like the construction crew of regeneration. So, when an axolotl loses a limb, for example, a cluster of cells forms at the site of the injury.
Okay.
That's the blastema.
And that's what rebuilds the missing part.
Exactly. And within the blastema, you have all the instructions and materials needed to rebuild whatever was lost.
So it's not just a random clump of cells, it's organized.
Highly organized.
Yeah.
And recent research has identified these specific signaling pathways within the blastema that orchestrate the regrowth.
Signaling pathways.
Yeah. Sure. Think of them like a team of foremen on a construction site, each one directing a different group of cells to build a specific part of the limb.
Okay. That analogy makes sense. So each pathway has a specific job.
Exactly. And scientists are really interested in these pathways.
Yeah.
Because they could hold the key to things like nerve and tissue repair in humans.
Like actually being able to repair a damaged spinal cord?
That's the idea.
Or regenerate heart tissue after a heart attack?
Exactly.
This is unbelievable. So we're talking about not just fascinating creatures, but potential medical breakthroughs.
Absolutely. And it gets even weirder. Axolotls actually stay in a kind of perpetual childhood.
Yeah.
Their whole lives.
What?
It's called neoteny. They never fully mature the way other salamanders do.
So they're like Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kind of. They retain these juvenile features, like their external gills.
Forever young. I wonder if it's connected to their regeneration abilities.
Scientists think it might be.
Yeah.
Because they never fully mature. Their cells might retain a kind of youthful plasticity. that allows them to transform and rebuild tissues more easily.
So it's like their cells haven't forgotten how to grow.
Exactly. It's a fascinating idea.
But is there a trade-off? I mean, do they sacrifice something else in exchange for this amazing regeneration?
That's a great question. And it leads to another interesting aspect of the axolotl, their unique life cycle and the challenges they face in their natural habitat.
Okay, so we've got these incredible regenerative powers, but there's a catch.
Well, even with their amazing resilience, axolotls are facing a very real threat of extinction in the wild.
Seriously? That's heartbreaking. So what's putting them at risk?
Well, their only natural habitat is in the canals of Xochimilco, right in the middle of Mexico City.
Okay.
And as the city has grown, the canals have become more polluted and overrun with invasive species.
So it's like their superpower is no match for human impact.
Sadly. That's often the case.
This is a tough situation. A creature that can regenerate almost anything is struggling to survive because of us.
It's a sobering thought.
So what can we do about it?
Well, there are some amazing people working on conservation efforts, and we'll talk about those in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back after a short break.
All right, so we're back. And we were talking about the threats facing axolotls in the wild.
Yeah, it's a pretty dire situation.
So we know their habitat is shrinking.
Right.
But what's the biggest problem they're facing in those canals?
I'd say the biggest issue is habitat loss.
Habitat loss.
Yeah, Mexico City keeps growing. Yeah. And as it does, more and more of the canals are being filled in or polluted. So there's just less and less space for them to live.
Exactly. And that's not even taking into account the other threats they're facing.
Like what?
Well, you've got invasive species.
Oh.
Like tilapia and carp, they've been introduced to the canals.
And those aren't native?
No. They're not. And they compete with axolotls for food and resources.
So the axolotls are getting squeezed from all sides.
Pretty much. You've got habitat loss. You've got invasive species.
And I'm guessing pollution doesn't help either?
You're right. Pollution is a major threat too.
How so?
Well, it weakens their immune systems, which makes them more susceptible to diseases.
So it's like a triple whammy.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm of challenges.
Man, that's rough. It's kind of ironic, right? These creatures can regenerate their limbs and organs, but they're struggling to survive because of pollution and habitat loss.
It really highlights the impact we're having on the environment.
It does. It's disheartening. But you mentioned earlier that there are some conservation efforts underway.
Oh, yeah. There's some really innovative things happening.
Like what?
Well, there's this scientist, Luis Zambrano. He's working on creating safe havens for axolotls.
Safe havens.
He's using these things called chinampas.
Chinampas, what are those?
They're these floating gardens. They were traditionally used for agriculture in Xochimilco.
So he's using ancient farming techniques to help the axolotls.
Exactly. It's a really cool blend of traditional knowledge and modern science.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about these chinampas.
So they provide a safe space for axolotls, away from predators and pollution.
Okay.
And they also help filter the water.
So it's a win-win.
Exactly. Yeah. They improve the overall health of the canal ecosystem.
That's amazing. So we've got these ancient farming techniques being used to create a kind of refuge for axolotls.
It's a pretty ingenious solution.
It is. But what about the pet trade? Axolotls are pretty popular pets, right?
They are. And that's actually led to some interesting ethical debates.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, captive breeding programs could help preserve the species.
I can see that.
But on the other hand, we have to remember that just breeding more axolotls doesn't solve the underlying problem.
Which is?
Their disappearing natural habitat.
Right. So it's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg.
Exactly. We need to address the root cause, not just treat the symptoms.
So captive breeding is a tool.
Yes.
But it's not a solution in and of itself.
Exactly.
Right.
We need to focus on protecting their wild populations and restoring their natural environment.
That makes sense. But it sounds like a really complex situation.
It is. There's no easy fix.
Well, it's good to know that people like Zambrano are out there working to make a difference.
Absolutely. There are a lot of passionate people fighting for the axolotl.
And speaking of complex, you mentioned earlier that the axolotl's regenerative abilities.
Yeah.
Have sparked some philosophical questions. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So imagine if we could replicate their abilities in humans.
Okay.
Where do we draw the line?
What do you mean?
Well,
okay.
Could we regenerate an entire human?
Whoa.
And if we did, would that person still be the same person?
That's getting into some deep territory.
It really is. It challenges our very definition of self and identity.
So it's like the ship of Theseus paradox.
Exactly. If you replace every part of a ship, is it still the same ship?
And how does that apply to a living being? Especially one with thoughts and feelings.
That's the big question. It makes you think.
It definitely does. It's amazing that studying a creature like the axolotl can lead to such profound philosophical questions.
It's a testament to their uniqueness.
It is. Okay. Well, before we wrap up, I want to touch on the axolotl's cultural significance in Mexico.
Yeah.
It seems like they're more than just a scientific curiosity.
Absolutely. They've captivated people for centuries. In Aztec mythology, they're linked to Jusuwat, mm-hmm. the god of transformation and regeneration.
Because of their regeneration abilities.
Exactly. They were seen as a symbol of resilience, rebirth, the cyclical nature of life.
It's almost like their mythology predicted what science is now discovering.
It's a beautiful example of how humans are intertwined with nature.
We see ourselves reflected in these creatures.
And they inspire us to ask big questions.
About life and death and what it all means.
Exactly.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive, I think we need to keep both perspectives in mind.
I agree.
The scientific wonder of axolotl regeneration
yeah.
and the deeper cultural and philosophical questions it raises.
The axolotl is more than just a collection of cells and genes. It's a symbol, a story, a reminder of our connection to all living things.
Well said. Okay, everyone stay with us. Because in the final part of our deep dive, we're going to look ahead to the future of axolotl research and what it might hold for both axolotls and humanity. All right. So we're back. And we've talked a lot about axolotls, their incredible regeneration, the threats they're facing. It feels like they're at this crossroads where they have so much potential for scientific discovery, but they could also disappear from the wild.
Yeah. It's a tough situation for sure.
So where do we go from here? What's next for axolotl research?
Well, one thing scientists are really focusing on right now is how axolotls regenerate limbs that are perfectly aligned.
Yeah,
like the new limb grows in the exact right spot.
Right.
With the right size and orientation.
So it's not just a random blob of tissue.
Exactly, it's a perfect replica.
That's amazing. How do they do that?
That's what scientists are trying to figure out. They're looking at the signaling pathways that control this precise spatial organization.
Spatial organization, so like a blueprint?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like there's this internal map that guides the regeneration process.
Okay. So could we ever replicate that in humans?
It's definitely a long-term goal.
Mm.
But some scientists believe it's possible.
Wow. Imagine being able to regenerate a lost limb and it looks and functions exactly like the original.
That would be incredible.
It would revolutionize medicine.
Absolutely.
But even if we could figure out the science, there are ethical considerations too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, where do we draw the line?
That's the big question.
Could people start regenerating body parts for cosmetic reasons?
It's a valid concern. We'll need to have a serious conversation about that as a society.
It's a slippery slope.
It is.
Yeah, the axolotl is presenting us with some really deep ethical dilemmas.
I think it's forcing us to confront our own mortality in a way.
Mm.
Like if we can rebuild our bodies, does that change who we are?
It's a question that philosophers have been debating for centuries.
And now science is bringing it to the forefront.
Exactly. The axolotl is a mirror, reflecting back our own hopes and fears about life and death.
That's a powerful image.
It is. And I think it's important to remember that while the research is exciting, we can't lose sight of the axolotl itself.
Right. These are amazing creatures.
They deserve our respect and protection.
So what can people do if they want to help?
There are lots of organizations working on axolotl conservation. You can donate to them, volunteer your time. Even just spreading awareness about the axolotl's plight is helpful.
Every little bit counts.
It really does.
So I guess the takeaway here is the axolotl's story is a reminder that we're all connected.
Yeah.
What happens to one species can impact us all.
And by protecting the axolotl, we're also protecting the delicate balance of the ecosystem. And ultimately, ourselves.
Exactly.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
We've learned so much about axolotl regeneration and the challenges they face.
And we've even touched on some pretty deep philosophical questions.
Yeah. The axolotl is a truly remarkable creature.
It is.
So to our listeners out there, we encourage you to keep learning about axolotls and support the efforts to protect them.
Their future may depend on it.
And who knows? Maybe our future, too.
Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure. Until next time, everyone, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking questions.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.